you got a text. Some of you guys got a text this morning, and I'm glad Crystal's on. I'm always worried about a new person getting on the West Coast going, what the heck? This guy's texting at 6:30 in the morning. So appreciate Crystal joining us for this time, and especially Ray. And I think I got that text off to Ray finally, so that's good. Because normally I don't send it to Ray because I know he's not with us on Wednesday mornings, but he is, so this is good. So, guys, I wanted to talk about it's go time. And I wanted to focus a little bit on being mediocre. I realized pretty early on, you don't really realize a lot until you're going to, college. And even when you're going to college, you have no idea what you're really going into for the most part. If you're fortunate enough to know what your game plan is, like if you're going to become a doctor or something like that, I guess you're fortunate from that standpoint that you know what you want to be. But I'm still pretty sure that I didn't know what I wanted to be when I was 10 years out of university. But I knew that I didn't want to be mediocre. I didn't want to be average. I didn't wish to be lukewarm. I didn't want to be a five, Liz talked about in our training last week. She talked about, nobody thinks of themselves really as a five. Everybody feels they're a little bit above average, and she mentioned that. But I got to tell you guys, from day one, and I know this sounds very ego-driven, and I sure don't want it to be ego-driven, but I definitely felt like I was a 10. I just felt that. I felt like, hey, I just don't want to be stuck in the middle with everyday people, and I wanted to, do better. I wanted to be the best that I could be. And regardless of your religious belief, I truly believe, guys, that God made all of us to become tens. And because I really believe that in my core, I decided I wanted to make sure I was a 10 in my life. The other morning in a training, I believe it was Terry Camford who said that she'd much prefer that when she was talking to people about becoming customers or distributors, that they simply would give her a yes or no answer as opposed to a maybe. I think that's true in most things in life, right? Indecision and hesitancy can really be a time stealer in our business. And if you kind of know if this is the right time or not, then that's great. It's really a sifting and sorting type of business that we find ourselves in. However, to a certain extent, and as a result, it's a numbers game. And in order to be a numbers game, you got to talk to people in order to have the numbers. Potential customers or distributors. That being said, that's why Malin always trains in her trainings about looking for people who are at high noon. And I can see the graphic right now of the little stick man banging his head against the pole, because he's not quite at high noon. And so she always talks about you're looking for people who are at high noon. And you're putting the rest of the people that you visit with who aren't at high noon in a tickler file that you can get back to and talk to later. And my experience, and I mean, boy, are we in the right business. There are so many people who want to be healthier. I mean, you take all the people who work out. We know they want to be healthy because they're working out every day. But for the masses of people out there, they want to be healthier, but they're not really quite committed enough, I don't think, to be as healthy as they can be. And so we've got the perfect answer to help them in their drive to become healthier, right? And so there's a ton of people out there who are, as Cindy always likes to say, are waiting for our products. They don't even know they're waiting for them, but they're just waiting for us to talk to them about our products. And I was one of those people, I learned very quickly. I was one of those people who could be put in the category of I'm a full-time spender but a part-time earner. That's how I felt when I was in college, full-time spender, part-time earner. And I was tired of that. I was tired of being poor. I always seemed to have more month than money at the end of the month. and I felt like it had to change. And to this day, I feel like I feel like Malin and I have found the perfect vehicle to make that happen. Now, a couple of you on the phone have been to enough of my meetings and trainings that you've heard this story, but there's a lot of you guys on the phone that haven't heard this story. But to kind of, you know, make the point that you actually have to keep talking to people, and I love when Pam said the other day that her goal is to talk to 5 people a day. That's a lot of people, guys, and that is a phenomenal goal when you're trying to talk to that many people a day. But even if you're just consistent, you know, consistency will win the race. But I talk about, when I was in Canada, before I came down to the States, before I came to college, I played chess. And I won the Junior Canadian Chess Championship. I'm proud to tell you, I think that was like 207 years ago. It feels like forever ago. But when I came down, I was really proud of the fact that I'd won this chess championship up in Canada. And when I came to university, the first thing I wanted to do as a total nerd was look up the chess club. And when I came to BYU, the chess club was in the Wilkinson Center, which is where the bowling alleys were at the time. And right next door to the bowling alleys was where the chess club met. And I went in there, and they had a big board up there with all the people and how they were ranked and who was the person right at the top of the board. It was a guy named Raleigh Uto. And I just got to tell you, my experience with him is he'd come from Europe and he was some big time chess player and he'd won the chess championship at the university and he was really, really a smart dude. There was no question about it. But he was a little egotistical, too. I don't know if you know people like that their ego kind of gets in the way of their accomplishments almost because, you know, you're going, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. And this guy, I just stood there because I was kind of a ringer, you know. Nobody knew who I was or anything, and I was there. And nerds of chess, they sit around and they watch everybody play and they watch the big guys play. And I kept watching him play and play and play. And after he'd play the game and he'd win, because he was really good, he'd look at the person and he'd go, the first thing he'd say to him is, let me show you what you did wrong, which is helpful. But he could play the game back because he had like a photographic memory of the board and how it worked. And he'd go, this is your first move. This is my move. This is what you did. This is what I did. I think he did it more from an intimidation type of standpoint. And after he showed them how he beat them, he'd always say with this really high voice, he'd go, next, like just very sarcastically, like, who's next? And it kind of grated on me, and I watched him, and he went next, and he went next, and he went next. And it got to the point that I thought, you know, I'm not going to beat this guy. This guy is really good. But I got in the line, I sat down, and he'd said next about 10 times in a row. So I sat down, and I said to myself, I said, man, I really got to beat this guy. And I have the element of surprise because he doesn't know that I'm a pretty decent chess player. And so I focused, like, really hard. And about 32 moves into the game, I could tell I was going to win. And at the same time I could tell I was going to win, he could tell he was going to win. And he looked up at me, and he surrendered his king. And I looked at him, and I went, next! I said, let me show you what you did wrong. And, you know, but it was more of a lesson that, in network marketing, how many times do we need to say next? And in order to say next, you got to talk to people and you got to go through again and again and again. And if you do that enough times, guys, I promise you that you will find a pearl. You know, there's a pony in there somewhere type of thing. I didn't mean to get on a religious kick today, but there's a famous scripture. I know Russell appreciate this, that he's probably familiar with in Revelations, that talks there's this quote that says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That sounds a little bit harsh, but it basically was saying, hey, you know, I can't have you hot or cold. You can't, I mean, I'd rather have you hot or cold. I don't want you to be lukewarm. And so it wasn't very complimentary. And so I looked up the definition of lukewarm, which is why I sent it out on the text this morning. And it defines lukewarm as showing little enthusiasm, being apathetic or half-hearted. Now, I realize there's absolutely nobody on this phone call who's not excited to be involved with Limitless and what its products can do for people. You guys are on this call every morning because you believe so much in the business and what we're trying to accomplish. But the question is, if the business is not growing the way you want it to grow, then what do you think the issue is that's causing your business not to grow that way? And I thought about it, and I thought, well, what's the opposite of lukewarm? What's the opposite of lukewarm? The opposite of lukewarm is burning hot. And in the industry, believe it or not, we always talk about, hey, we're out there trying to find a hot molecule. You guys know that have been in the business for a while. We always refer to looking for a hot molecule. We're looking for somebody who's on fire, which is Pam's theme song, I think. This girl's on fire, you know. But what is the opposite of also being half-hearted? I thought about it for a minute, and I thought the opposite of being half-hearted is being fully committed, right? And what happens to your business if you're not fully committed to it? It doesn't grow. It kind of just stays in place, and many times it'll even decline. You know, Andy did a training a week ago, I think, in which he talked about Tony Robbins. And Andy talked about, you know, taking massive action. And then he paused and he said, but Tony Robbins said massive action wasn't enough. Tony Robbins said you need to take determined massive action. And I thought to myself, what does determined massive action mean? You know, do you think determined massive action is average? I don't think so. You know, you only have the ability to control what is in your control. And you're responsible for you. I put out in the text this morning a famous quote from Will Rogers. He was a famous cowboy humorist, so I know that Terry Staton probably knows all his quotes and everything. But he once said, even if you're on the right track, sooner or later you'll get run over if you just sit there. And that is true, guys, in our business. You always have to be, and maybe that's the downside. Maybe some people say, you know, I just don't think that's something I can do, which is what separates you in the industry from being average and being able to go out. It's the number of people you talk to. So yesterday, Melinda and I had a call with our leaders, and it was about it being go time, which is why I sent that out on the text. That at some point, as a company, we're a small company, we're a fun company, we do all the right things, we go on trips, we have incentives, we have bonuses, we have a great comp plan, we have the most amazing products that you can have out there. So what's the thing we're lacking as a company? And Melinda and I have this conversation all the time, and it's finding distributors. So we wanted everybody, we talked to our leaders about how important it was to up our game, and that it's go time, guys, and that this will be beneficial to everybody. It'll be beneficial for our leaders. It'll be beneficial for all you guys that are trying to build your business, and that it's go time. And like I say on my three-way calls, I always ask the question, you know, what's your game plan? And if not limitless, then what? So I'm asking each of you, the equivalent of the commercial phrase that I've seen on TV 1,000 times, what's in your wallet? You know, what have you got to do to give the business, to get the business to where you want it to be, to share with others our incredible products and take massive action? That's really what I wanted to talk about, is that it's go time and that you can build your business and have a massive impact on your business and, more importantly, on others out there. So it's time, guys. It's go time. Time to review your goals and take action. So the challenge is to review those goals and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And the challenge was specific that Melinda and I gave to the leaders. It was for November and December. So the leaders stepped up. They did. They said, okay, we're all in. We're in with both feet, and we'll make this happen. And to which we appreciate that so, so much. And we know it's going to be hard. But at the end of 2 months, wouldn't you much rather start January of 2022 on a roll and with momentum and with fly-in coming up in February? Wouldn't you much prefer to go into the fly-in on a major roll with people in your business? And if you want to have excitement, you just add new blood. So that's the challenge, guys, to review your goals and to take determined, massive action when you're reviewing your goals. Next. Okay, that's it.